I'm deeply grateful to Mr. Michael Rothschild of the Chofetz Chaim Heritage Foundation and to Mrs. Guggenheim from the Mishmeres organization for inviting me to come to speak to all of you here today. The Torah tells us that when Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu that he should count all the Yidden in Klal Yisrael, that he should take a census, the Torah tells us at the beginning of Parshas Kisisa, Kisisa es Rosh Bnei Yisrael, when you will take a census of all the Yidden, l'pekudeyem, according to their numbers, v'nosnu, every person should give. The amount that they were supposed to give was a machtzis ha-shekel. And the Baal HaTurim writes on this pasuk in Shmois Lamed, pasuk Yud Beis, im tikirena l'mafreya, if you will look at the word v'nosnu, which is spelled vav, nun, tof, nun, vav, yiyu gamken v'nosnu, if you read it frontwards or backwards, it's going to be the exact same word, v'nosnu. As a matter of fact, there are a few words like that. It's interesting that the name David is like that, the name Yishai is like that, and the name of a girl, Aviva, is like that. A-V-I-V-A, both words. Now just so that you should know, what that is called in English is a palindrome, in case anybody wants to know, that you can read the word forwards and backwards. But the Baal HaTurim tells us that there's a great lesson here in this word v'nosnu, that you can read it both ways. Loi malach, to tell you, Masha Adam niten litztaka, that which a person gives tztaka, yavzerei lav, is going to come back to him. A person doesn't have to worry if he gives tztaka v'nosnu, because it's going to come back to him, he's going to get it himself. What the Torah is teaching us, that when someone is a nosein, someone is a giver, eventually he's going to have the schus to be a makabel. The Eibishter is going to pay him back. Every single one of you who came here today, whether you came from Brooklyn, or from Scranton, or from Philadelphia, or from Providence, or from Lakewood, or from Muncie, wherever you came from, you are a nosein. The reason that you are a nosein is because you have come to give chizuk. Now a person could look around and think, well, what's a big deal if I came? There's 1,000 girls here anyway. You think it's going to make a difference if I was here or not? So I'll tell you something very interesting. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, when Hillel was at the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, he made the most startling statement. All the Mefarshim asked, what could he have meant? He said, he looked around and he said, am I Nikon or Kolkan? If I'm here, everybody's here. Well, that can't possibly be the real meaning. Hillel was humble. He certainly didn't mean to say if he was here, everybody's here. So what I once heard, the pshat is that Hillel was telling every Yid at the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, there were thousands of them. And maybe somebody's going to think, well, what's the difference if I came or not? It wouldn't make a difference. So he said, no. Hashem looks at every single individual who came. And Hashem considers, im ani kan, if you are here, a person has to think about himself. If I am here, hakol kan, Hashem considers it just as important as everybody who came. So every girl who came here today in every school is a nosein because your coming has given chizuk to everyone here. And that's what we learn by the malachim. We say every morning in the Brichas Krishma, V'chula mekablim aleihem oil malchus shamayim zeh mizeh. All the malachim, the mekabel oil malchus shamayim, one from the other. Why is that? Because v'noisnim be'ava reshu zeh lazeh. They give lovingly, they care for each other. So because they are noisnim to each other, they are mekablim from each other. Each one of you has today become a noisein. You're coming to give chizuk to every other girl and every school that came. And hopefully, each of us will be able to leave today as a makabel, one who will get inspiration in this, our central theme today, which is becoming a giver and not a taker. I'll tell you something very interesting. Just this past Shabbos, I was in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is a place where it's very, very cold. But I can tell you the Kehillah and the people are very warm. A great Yiddish community is growing there. It's one of the secrets in Klal Yisrael. Many of us who live in New York, we don't realize what's doing out of town. But there's a kollel there and a day school of more than 200 children. It's remarkable. So I had the opportunity to speak in different places. Friday night I spoke in a home on the Inyonim of Chinuch, and it was in a doctor's home. And wherever I go today, Baruch Hashem, people are telling me stories. So this doctor starts telling me a story. I said, I can't believe it. I know this story for 3 years, but I never told it, and I never printed it, because I didn't know who it happened to. And he's telling me it happened with him. Listen to this story. It's absolutely amazing. This fellow, his name is Dr. Nassano Brenningstall. He's a pediatric neurologist. Amazing story. He tells me a couple years ago he was in Eretz Yisrael. It goes back 1986. And he was giving a lecture to many, many doctors on the nervous system in children. One of his specialties is Nebuch, we should not know from it, is children that have epileptic seizures. And there's a chassid sitting in the audience. Now he sees all the doctors, he knows many doctors from all over the world, but he never met this chassid from Yerushalayim. So afterwards he goes over to this fellow and he says, excuse me, are you a new doctor here in Eretz Yisrael? I never met you at a conference before. He says, no, I'm not a doctor. He says, so how come you're here? So he says, I have a daughter, he says, that has epileptic seizures, and I go to every single medical conference that I can to learn how I can help my daughter. A tremendous einfall from a father, a dedicated father, who goes to all the medical conferences and just sits in the back so that he should be able to learn how he can help his daughter. So the conference goes on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. As it's winding down Friday, this chassid, this Yerushalayim Dikayid, goes over to Dr. Brenningstall and he says to him, where are you going to be for Shabbos? He says, I'll tell you the truth, I don't have a place. I didn't know that I could be any place. I'm staying in the hotel. He says, nah, come to me. Come to my home for Shabbos. So he says, okay, fine, good. So they walk, and as they're walking home from shul, Dr. Brenningstall tells me that the father said to him, you know, I have 5 daughters. And I guarantee you, you won't be able to tell the difference. You won't know which is the one that has the seizures, because she only has them sometimes, and most of the time she doesn't have them. She'll be at the table like everybody else. You'll see. You won't know the difference. He said, okay, let's see. Comes to the table, Kiddush, Hamoitzi, Divrei Torah, everything. In the middle of the meal, he turns to Dr. Brenningstall, and he says, go ahead, which daughter is it? And Dr. Brenningstall points to one girl, and the father is speechless. He said, how did you know? You're right. How did you know? Listen to what an einfall of a yid. He said, I saw when you were giving brachas to your children, with her you spent the longest amount of time. What an einfall. So I said to him, what do you learn from that story? I was so moved by it when I heard it a few years ago. Mitzvah Hashem, maybe you should give me the schus to write another book. I'll certainly put this in there. But you know what he told me? You know what you learn? You learn that when a person has a problem, especially when a father has a problem, he focuses on that problem and he spends so much time on that problem. And what made me think of this is because I remember when Rav Simcha Wasserman, the son of the great Rav Elchanan, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Livracha, Rav Simcha Wasserman was in our neighborhood in Kew Gardens the last years of his life. He was never very ill, and there was a wonderful family, the Rowe family, that took him in. And I used to go visit Rav Simcha. And he said to me, why do you think Hashem has made it that our generation is focusing on Shmiras HaLashon? Never was it like this. So many shiurim, so many books, so many tapes, so many magazines, so many tzvarim, so much about Shmiras HaLashon. Why? Why did Hashem make it that our generation should focus on it? And he gave me a great answer. And he said, you know why? Because the Eivishter wants to bring Mashiach. But he can't. He's got a problem. The problem is that which it says in the Gemara, in Yuma Daf Sesam and Beis, that because of Sinas Chinam, the second Beis HaMikdash was Chorev, and there's still so much Sinas Chinam around. So our Father in Heaven has a problem. So what does he do? He makes us focus on this problem. He gave it to Rav Segal, Zichrono Livracha, and others, that they should have the idea that our generation has to concentrate on the union of Shmiras HaLashon, on the union of relationships, on the union of Avas Yisrael. That's how a father gets us to focus on the problem, and that's the purpose of coming here today. Because if we can only learn how to become noisnim, how to be givers, that will bring us closer, and that will bring us to Avas Yisrael, and hopefully then to Mashiach. We always use the word davening. Did it ever occur to anybody, where does the word come from? So there's a wonderful sefer that was written by Rav Avram Chaim Feuer, a Rav in Mansi, he's the son-in-law of Rav Gifter. It's a sefer on Shemoyne Esra, it's printed by Oshkol, an excellent sefer. And in there he writes that the word davening is actually based on an Aramaic word. The Aramaic word is de'avuhoin. De'avuhoin means from the fathers. So from de'avuhoin came davening, and that's how we use the word. What does it mean? That it comes from the fathers? Avram Avinu was the first one to institute that we daven shachris. Yitzchak instituted mincha, Yaakov instituted ma'ariv. So I remember Rav Shlomo Shvadron, the Maggid of Yerushalayim, once told me, what does it mean that they instituted shachris, mincha, and ma'ariv? He told me he heard something very nice once from Rav Elia Lapian. Rav Elia Lapian said, today everybody uses a telephone, right? We even have cell phones. You dial in a second, you can call Eretz Yisrael from wherever you are. But what if you had to make the telephone? It would take us 5 years. None of us here know how to make a telephone. I certainly don't. Right? But once the telephone was made, right? And we thank Alexander Graham Bell, right? So now you got a history lesson and an English lesson. In case, so now once we have him who invented the telephone, so now we can all use it because the wires are there. He says that's what Avram Avinu did. Avram Avinu made the wires to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shachrit. It's not just some that you can talk to Hashem. Who are we to some talk to Hashem? But Avram Avinu made that telephone connection through Shachrit. Yitzchak made it through Mincha. Yaakov made it through Ma'ariv. So therefore then, we can all daven, because all we got to do is press the buttons and dial the numbers. But you know, when we say Shemin Esra, how do we start? We start out and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, you are our Hashem. That's why we call to you, and that's why we come to you. But then right away we say, Elokei Avoseinu. But you are also the God of our fathers. Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why do we say that? I think that the reason that we say it is because deep down we know that we don't have enough schusim. And we want to have the schusim of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that's why right at the beginning of Shemin Esra, we remind Hashem, Hashem, you loved Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. You are their God, and you are our God. Please, in their schus, help us. But then I saw a frightening medrash. Mamish, frightening. A frightening medrash and a frightening Gemara. The Gemara is in Shabbos, Nun Hei Amid Aleph. And the medrash is in Vayikra, Rabbah, Lamed Vav, Vav. And it says like this. Me'emesai tamo schus avais. When did schus avais end? Or as the medrash says, Admosai schus avais kayemet. Till what time in history do we have schus avais? You know what that means? That today, according to the medrash and according to the Gemara, we don't have schus avais anymore. We used it up. Klal Yisrael used it up. The point of the Alma, how are we going to get answered if we don't have schus avais according to the medrash? So listen to what the medrash says, and let's listen to the lashon. Imro isa schus avais shemata. If you see that the schus avais of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov is wavering, we're davening, and it's not helping so much. And the schus of Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, it's faltering. What should you do? Leich v'hitofel b'chasadim. Get involved with chesed. Because this is what the pasuk says. Ki heharim yamutu. Heharim is the mountains, the avos. If their schusim are no longer with us. V'hagvos, and our mothers, timoitena. They are wavering and they are faltering. Then what do we have to do? Then v'chazdei me'iteich lo yomush. Then you have to get involved in chesed, because they were involved in chesed. And if we do chesed, Hashem will say, oh, he's connected to the avos and the emois, they were balei chesed. Then I'll answer. And that's why it occurs to me. That's why in Shemin Esra we say v'zoicher chazdei avos. You know why? Because unless we do chesed, unless we get involved in chesed, chas v'sholom, according to the medrash and according to Gemara and Shabbos, we no longer have schus avos. The only way we're going to get connected is if we do chesed. Zokt Rabbi Leo Detzler, in Chelik Aleph, page 140, you should look it up. He says, it's midah v'midah. The b'chesed, koinim chas de yizbarach. If you do chesed, you're going to get Hashem's chesed. because our generation is so far away from the Avos, the only way we can connect is connecting through Chesed. You know, every day in Shemoneh Esrei, every day in Davening, over and over we say about Hashem, how Hashem is a Noisein, a giver. The Eibush says, a Noisein HaTorah, in Brichas HaTorah we say right away. We start out the Brichas HaShachar, Asher Nosan Lasech Vivino. The Eibush gives, Lasech Vi, one pshat is at the heart. He gives a person's heart the understanding to understand between day and night, between different types of situations. The Avudram Taiches, Lasechvi means the rooster. The rooster is the only one that understands the difference between day and night. Automatically, if you close your eyes, half of us can sleep right through a whole day. We don't know the difference between day and night. The only animal, the only being, that even if their eyes are closed can tell the difference if it's day and night, is the rooster. Asher Nosa Lasechvi Vino. And until they had alarm clocks, the rooster was our alarm clock. Hanoisen Layoav Koyach. David should give to those that are tired, gives them koyches. Noisin lechem lechol basar. Einich ala lechem is haber vata noisin lechem es ochlam ve'itoy. The Eibishter gives food to everyone. So when we have to become like the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, we have to be a noisin. And when you are a noisin, when you give, you plant a seed. You either plant a seed of friendship, a seed of unity, or a seed of unpredictable events, unpredictable results. Listen to this great story about someone who planted a seed. This story took place in Detroit. And I'm grateful to everybody who's a Noisein who gives me stories. This Rabbi Yisrael Meir Vogel, a Rebbe in Philadelphia, told me this. He told me the story that happened in Detroit. There was an 8th grade class. The brightest kid in the class was a boy who came from parents that were not frum. And everybody in the class was hoping that this boy would end up in a frum high school. But the parents, they were not interested in sending this child to a frum high school. He was only going to go to the 8th grade, and then he was going to go to public school. And no matter what anybody said to him, he said, listen, it's not up to me, what can I do? It's up to my parents. So a father in the class decided that he's going to do something that's going to make such an impression on this boy, that this boy definitely will want to continue learning and go to a Yiddish high school. What does he do? He goes over to the boy and he says like this, I know you're the brightest kid in the class, by far. The Rebbe this year is learning a difficult Gemara. Let's say it was Bava Kama. I know no one in the 8th grade can possibly finish the entire Masechta. It's over 100 blocks. But I'll tell you what, he says to the boy. If you finish the Masechta, I will make you such a party. The 7th grade will be there. The 8th grade will be there. All the Rebbes will be there. The principals will be there. You'll get gifts. We'll have singing and dancing. You'll never forget it. So the kid is a bright boy. He says, okay, I accept the challenge. And he starts learning day and night and early before davening. And at night, he comes to the Beis Medrash and the shuls. And he's learning. And sure enough, he finishes the Masechta. And at the end, in June, at the end of the semester, at the end of the Zman, they make a big party, the 7th grade and the 8th grade and the Rebbes. And they sing and dance and they give him gifts. Beautiful. And next year, the kid goes to public school. Going to Geholfen. Nothing he could do. Fine. Many, many years later, this father was in Lakewood. And he's in Lakewood visiting his own son, who is in the Kailo. He's walking along the street on Clifton, and a fellow comes over to him, a neat-looking beard. A fellow comes over to him, he says, do you remember me? He says, I don't know, who are you? He says, remember you used to live in Detroit? He said, yeah, I lived in Detroit years ago. He said, you remember you made that party in the 8th grade? He said, yeah, who are you? He says, no, don't worry, I'm not that boy. But he says, I want to tell you something else. I was in that class, and I had a terrible year. And I made up my mind that learning was not for me. But when you made that party, and I saw what it meant to the Rebbes and the principals, and to all the boys in the class, what it meant to finish a Masechta, I decided, I'm going to get serious in high school. And that's how I'm in the Lakewood Kailo today, only because of your party. That father was a Noisein. But when you are a Noisein, you plant a seed. You have no idea what the result is going to be. Of course, he was thinking about this boy. But look what happened. Somebody else gained from it. And so I want to tell you about another great book and an expression that's worth the whole book itself. There's a wonderful book. Nobody should ever need it, but it's a tremendous Sefer Kodesh written by a Rebbetzin in Manchester who never has multiple sclerosis. And she just didn't want to write her real name in the book, but I'll tell you who she is. Her name is Rebbetzin Chavi Wachshal. She uses a pen name. And this is a book published by Feldheim. It's called Facing Adversity with Faith. It's such kedusha she has from all the gedolim, from Rab Segal and from Rab Brevda, and all the wonderful tzaddikim that she's had a shaychus to, going through that terrible, terrible machla which she still suffers with today. And in that book she has an expression that she wrote, that she picked up someplace. Any fool can count the seeds in one apple, but only the highest power, that's Hashem, can count the apple in one seed. That is so brilliant. That should be in every school. Any fool can count the seeds in one apple, but only the highest power can count the apples in one seed. When you are a noisein and you give a gift, you're planting something. You're planting a relationship. You're planting a friendship. You never know where that's going to lead. Did that father in Detroit, could he possibly imagine that another boy in the class would become an Erlicher younger man and become a Kaila fellow because of his party? There's a sefer called the Nefesh HaChaim. Rav Chaim Volozhiner has this sefer, and in the introduction, his son Rav Yitzchak writes, that his father always used to give him mussar, because he wasn't involved in the pain and in the anguish of others. And he used to say to me all the time, also three words that should be in every school and in every home. He says, V'koy ha'yadvorai elai tomi, he always used to say this, Shezek ala adam, this is what a person is all about. Loi la'atzmoi nivra. You are not created for yourself. Every single one of us in this room was blessed with certain talents. Some can speak, some can draw, some can write. Everybody can do something else. The Eibishter did not create you so that you should take those talents and use it for yourself and become a wealthy individual with covet and honor and glory. That's not why he gave it to you. He gave you that covet so you should take it and use it for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Use it to enhance Torah and mitzvahs. Loi la'atzmoi nivra. We have to learn to become a noisein. Let me tell you about a simple yid who so many of us in this room have gained from, and you don't know, but today you're going to find out what a noisein this fellow was. There was a fellow, Satma Heverman, who was learning in a kailo many years ago in Williamsburg. His name is Herschel Weber. He was learning in a kailo in the Perlish Yeshivah on Ross Street, and he tells me one day he comes out of the kailo, he walks downstairs, and he's walking on Ross Street, and all of a sudden, a guy, he just sees a guy walking. All of a sudden, the guy, mamish, looks like he has a heart attack, and he falls on the floor. Herschel Weber starts yelling, help, help. He was not a doctor. He's yelling, ambulance, police, whatever. And all of a sudden, he sees this guy going from consciousness to unconsciousness, from a face that was white to a face that was blue, and the man died right in front of his face. And by the time the police came, of course it was too late, and he told me that he heard one policeman say to the other, if we would have got here earlier, we could have saved this guy's life. You know what this Satma Chassid did? This Satma Chassid goes to Park Surgical, right across the street here, comes to Borough Park, and he buys himself an oxygen tank, a little oxygen tank, and he keeps it with him in the kailo. He says, I will never in my life do I ever want to see such a thing. I'm going to have it in the Polish Yeshiva, I'm going to have an oxygen tank. People thought he was crazy. And you know what he does? He goes to Red Cross. He goes to Red Cross so he should be able to learn first aid and CPR. And he gets a few of his chassidim and they do the same thing. Then people started calling him, you know, when there was a little emergency, people started calling him. One night, Nebuch, a lady, an older lady and her husband were sleeping and the man died in his sleep. Now the lady didn't realize that her husband died. So by the time she woke up 7 o'clock in the morning, she takes a look and Nebuch, her poor husband died. She's yelling and screaming and she knows who else could you call? Herschel Weber. She calls Herschel Weber. He comes running with his oxygen tank. By that time, there's a whole tumult because she's yelling and screaming, Nebuch. And when he told me, when he came down the stairs from that lady's house, he hears people say, oh, Yana Etim Gehargit. He killed him. Because as if the lady was waiting for him and he didn't know what to do. He told me he started crying. He couldn't stop crying. He said, I killed? How could people talk like that? It wasn't me. The man was dead 5 hours by the time I got there. So Herschel Weber went to the Satmar Rebbe. And he says to the Rebbe like this, Rebbe, I have me and two other fellows. I just want to mention their names because of the credit they deserve. A Mr. Galant who had a cleaning store and a Mr. Kopp who had a bakery. He said, the three of us and a few others. Anytime there's an emergency, we feel that we want to have, so that people should call us. You think we should make an organization like this? So the Satmar Rebbe takes out a Shari Tshuva. You can look it up, it's unbelievable. Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel, Ois Ayin Aleph. And he reads it to them. V'toiv v'nochein ma'oid. It is very good and proper. Liyos v'chol ir v'ir misnad v'im. There should be volunteers in every community. Min ha'maskilim, the intelligent people. Liyos nachoinim. They should be ready, umuzumonim, and prepared. L'chol dvar hatzola. That's how Hatzola got its name, from this Shari Tshuva, from the Satmar Rebbe. V'yos ish or isha miYisrael shuriyim b'tzar. If there's a yid, a man or a woman that's having a problem, the Rebbe said, call it Hatzola and open the organization. Is there anybody in this room that doesn't know somebody that was helped by Hatzola? One man, Herschel Weber, a Satmar Chassid. He saw something that any of us could have seen. A person died. Nebuch, Rachmanis, Emigate Vaita. No! He's a noisein. He wants to give to the community. That's a pshat a noisein. Imagine the apples in that seed. Imagine the schar in the olam ha'emes that this tzaddik has. It's unbelievable. How many Hatzol organizations around the world because of what he did. And imagine the schus of the Satmar Rebbe who encouraged him. By us today, Hatzol is it's a word. It's in our vernacular. Who could ever imagine living without Hatzol? But that's a pshat when you're a noisein. So I'll tell you the greatest Hatzolah story. It's got nothing to do with the speech, but I can't resist. It's mamish the greatest. You'll never forget this. There was a guy, this happened Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, a guy, Nebuch, an old man, was in shul. It was hot. It was in one of the shuls in Flatbush, and it was so hot. And the guy, Nebuch, he hadn't been well, and he fell. And everybody thought that he had died. Of course, a Hatzolah call went out right away. All the guys, Yom Kippur from all the other shuls, they whipped off their talisim and they come running to this place. Meanwhile, in this shul, they carried the guy out, and one of the Hatzolah guys had a stretcher, and they put this fellow out on a stretcher. And once he was out in the open, so he opened his eyes, because now he had some air, and he looks around and he sees all these guys with white kitlach standing around. So he looks around and he says, "Oi, Bidach Shinoivin! Am I upstairs already?" Because he thought they were all malachim. Eina chanami. Hatzolah guys taka are malachim. Because they give of their time. And anybody who has a father or an uncle or a brother in Hatzolah, you know what it means to give of time without getting anything in return. Sometimes not even a yashikoyach. But I want to tell you another type of noising. Another type of giver that we could all become, that we don't even realize is in the gather of giving. If you look in Avos, Perik Vav Mishnah Gimel, it tells us 48 ways that you can be Koine Torah. One of the ways is Noisei Ba'oil Chaveiroi. Feeling the pain of your friend. Feeling the pain. And sharing in it. So the Tiferes Yisrael tells us three different things that your person can do. The first thing he tells us is B'tichas HaGuf. You can feel the pain of somebody else, somebody, a lady's carrying a heavy package, or somebody can't build a sukkah, somebody can't go to the store. You actually physically get involved. That's one way. The second way is Hotzas Mamon, giving money, a loan, or giving a gift of money to a kala that needs it. That's Hotzas Mamon. The third way is Tzar Nafshai. The third way is to feel the pain in your soul. How do you show that you feel the pain when you daven for somebody? There are never so many people that are sick, so many people with sin that are, and if you feel the pain, that's part of Noisei Ba'ol Chaveiroi. But the fourth is the most amazing. The fourth is the most surprising. And listen what it says. Kishechose Seichel L'Chaveiroi. If your friend is missing Seichel in Inyanim, Zmaniyim or Nitzchiyim, temporary things or eternal things. Lo Yochush Melahatriach Es Atzmai Liyoatzai L'Lamdei L'Toivotai Ba'olam Azeh Ba'olam Avah. If you are makar of somebody to mitzvahs and maisim toivim, where he understands that there's such a thing as ruchnius, that also is being a noisein. If you're involved in kiruv, that's a noisein. I see here right up front a whole group of girls with their extraordinary teacher who came to my house. A group of Russian girls. That's the pshat being a noisein. That's the pshat being involved in kiruv and making a difference. In children's lives that they will never forget. Kiruv is also being a noisein. So let me tell you a remarkable story. What does it mean to be a Noisa, and what does it mean to be involved in Kirov? The truth is, Rabbi Olbaum knows, but very few people know today anymore, who was one of the pioneers in our generation in Kirov, who long before it became fashionable to go out and take those kids that Nebuch are falling on the side. Rabbi Shlomo Freifeld, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, and his yeshiva Shari Yoshev, he used to take boys that nobody could deal with, and he made them into wonderful balabatim, some of them rabbonim and rosh yeshivas today. He was one of the fathers of the Kirov movement. So let me tell you a story about a kid who grew up in Canarsie in Brooklyn. And as you know, any time that I hear a story, I try to go and verify it. And I spoke to this fellow himself, and he tells me as follows. He lived in Canarsie, and he hated city life, and he hated Yiddishkeit, and he decided he's going to get out of here. No connection. He's going. Where does he go? He wants to go to an Indian reservation in Montana. So the guy goes and he moves in with the Indians, in the wigwams, in the teepees, and he's doing the soil, tilling the soil, and he's eating from that which he plants himself. A guy with long hair, totally away from society as we know it. And he tells me he was there for 2 years, and then he decides he's going to go to the Gadol HaDor in the Indian reservation. Who's the Gadol HaDor? Some lady guru someplace. So he travels up in the mountains. He tells me it took him 2 days to get up there. No cars could even get there. How he got there, I don't know. And he says he never in his life saw such poverty. Her children were wearing rags, mamish, eating out of tin cans. And he tells me he sits down and he wants to start talking to her. And she says to him, "You do not belong here. You have to go back to your roots." He looks at her. I can't believe it. He didn't say anything yet. Who is she that she takes a look at him and she tells him he has to go back to where he comes from, and he tries to get into a conversation with her and say, "Hell garnet, whatever she tells him and whatever he tells her, she tells him, you are not one of us. You got to go back." No, the Gadol HaDor Paskin. So he goes back to Brooklyn. He comes to Brooklyn and somebody tells him that he should go to Rabbi Freifeld and Shari Yoshev. So the fellows who were there in those days, they still remember this fellow coming with a pickup truck and his dog named Chica sitting in the back of the pickup truck. I thought I saw a picture. So now this fellow comes in with the long hair into the Beis Medrash. You could imagine a sight, you know, with his overalls and suspenders and long hair, no yarmulke, nothing. Maybe they put on a yarmulke when he walked in. And he sits down and he starts talking to Rabbi Freifeld. And he told me an amazing thing. Rabbi Freifeld, the first thing he asked him, "How do you hunt deer?" And he started talking to him about the Indian reservations and all these things. And then Rav Shlomo says to him, he says, "Listen, you know, I really enjoy talking to you, but you know, I didn't know you were coming. So I would appreciate if you would come back next week. You got to promise me you're going to come back next week, because then I have time for you and I really want to talk to you." He says, "Okay, Rabbi, if you feel that you want to, I'll be back." He comes back a week later and he sits down in the office by Rav Shlomo. The office is surrounded by Svarim, those who knew Rav Shlomo Freifeld. He had thousands of Svarim in his house, in the Beis Medrash, in his office. And as they're in the middle of talking, then Rav Shlomo Freifeld, somebody comes in front of the Beis Medrash and says, "Rebbe, they need you in the Beis Medrash. Could you come in for a minute?" So he excuses himself from this fellow, and he says, "Excuse me, I'll be right back." So now the fellow tells me, he's standing there alone in the office with his long hair, little yarmulke, whatever he had, and he's looking around at the Svarim. And then he was just done walking around, and then he walks around behind the desk. And when he walks around behind the desk, he sees in the knee hole of the desk, two books on the floor. And he can't understand, two holy books? Svarim? How could this rabbi have Svarim on the floor? And he bent down to pick up those two books. And when he picked up those two books, that changed his life. Because those two books were books about Indian reservations. Rav Shlomo Freifeld had somebody go to the library and get him books about Indian reservations, and he studied them for a week so that he should be able to understand where this kid is coming from. And the fellow told me that, "I realized that moment when I picked up those books, if that's how much the Rebbe cares about me, then that's how much I have to care about the Rebbe. This guy is a tzaddik nifla today. There are many, many people here who know who he is, but I have no permission to say who he is. You would be shocked if you would find out who he is. A tzaddik nifla ad miyoy." But that's only because Rav Shlomo was a giver. Because he was a giver, because he looked to see where that person was coming from. How he could relate to that person. That's the pshat, being a giver. And that's exactly what Rashi tells us in the Pasuk, in Shemois Chavdalad, Chavbeis Pasuk Chavdalad, tells us, in Kesef Talva Es Ami, Es Ha'oni Imach, if you lend money to my people, Es Ha'oni Imach, the Ani which is within you, Zok Rashi, what does that mean? Es Ha'oni Imach, have a mistake ba'atmecha, ki'ilo ata'oni. Look at the Ani as if you're with him. You have to feel his pain. You want to be a real giver? Feel the pain of somebody. Not that you give somebody and you're waiting for the favor. That's what Rav Chaim Shulevitz says. That's the issur of ribbis. The issur of giving, of taking interest, is not so much that you're taking interest. It's that you're giving with an ulterior motive. You're being a noisein in order to be a noitel. And that's terrible. So the Pele Yoyetz tells us, and this is something that all of us can do, even today, when we say goodbye to our friends that we see from other schools. And certainly we can do this on Shabbos, and certainly we can do this every day in school. The Pele Yoyetz writes many beautiful essays on many topics. And he has an essay on the topic of Shalom. And he writes, Kamechiyuva Ramyu al Hashirim, how important it is for the wealthy people and the Talmid HaChachamim to give Shalom, to greet those that have less than them, especially the poor, unfortunate poor people. There are a lot of kids in your class that don't have the family you have, don't have the friends you have, don't have the funds you have, and don't have the talent you have. You have to reach out to them. It's to them that you say hello and goodbye. Not only to the ones that are leading the cantata and gone being accepted into the best seminaries and the ones that are so wealthy and popular. They don't need your covers. But the ones who need it are the ones that are less. And the Pele Yoyetz tells us how important it is. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's not shayach that everybody should go to every chasana that you're invited. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael is growing. Zok to Pele Yoyetz in an essay called Kavod Ubefrat. If your relatives are poor, those are the ones you should go to their chasanas and bar mitzvahs. And show them that you're happy for them. That's how you become a noisein. Not that you're a noisein because you want to be a noitel, because you want to get something back from them. So who do we take from? Of course, we want to be givers. But you know who we take from? And many of us, unfortunately, don't give back to. I believe from this kinos today, we have to make a commitment to be noislim, and not only noislim from our parents. Mit Hashem, all of you will be married and have children. Only then will you realize how much parents give to children. But what do children do in return? Children have to remember that the parents spend so much time and so much effort and so much money. The Chinuch in Mitzvah Lamed Gimel in Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim writes, what is the reason that we have the Mitzvah Kibbutz Av Ha'Aim? It's proper that a person should be Yakir V'Yigmal Chesed L'Misha Asa Imay Taiva. You have to be Makir Taiv to the one who does you a favor. Your parents brought you into this world. Without them you wouldn't be here. And he writes, through this, when you're going to be market type to your parents, then you realize what it means to be grateful to Hashem. So our parents are the vehicle. If we work and help our parents, then we can work and help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I want to tell you something that I would never have the nerve to say publicly, except that I'm quoting from the Lev Eliyahu. And he writes it about boys, but I'm sure that he meant it about girls as well. And you could look it up because it's very sharp. Lev Eliyahu Chelek Gimel, page Shin Lamed Zayin and Shin Lamed Chet. He writes like this: Yesh Lizkar Lazar LaHoyrim B'Sidur Habayis. It's very important to make sure that you help your parents at home. Shelo Yigram Chas V'Shalom LeImai. You shouldn't cause that your mother will say, Aho, Miyoyim Shechaza B'Nima Yeshiva. The day my son got home from Yeshiva, my daughter from seminary, Oy vey, Nasa Yisayda Babayis. The house is a holy wreck. And then listen what he writes. You wouldn't believe it. This is page 276. You can look it up. Reishai Involve Chela Gimel. Yesh Min Abochrim. The Abochrim Kishabayim Ben Azmanim LeBeisam. When they come home, Ben Azmanim, Harehe Mispachim Ala Sapa Ketanagoylim. I see, understand. That they spread themselves out like roosters, and the girls do the same thing. You think just because you came up from seminary, or just because you have a lot of homework, your parents owe you everything. You wouldn't be in school without your parents. Some of our parents have two and three jobs. He says, "V'lo yerutzu l'chabed es aviyam v'imam." And these children don't want to be mechaber their parents. Ein zois ki im roya leiv v'chaser in hakaras hatoiv. It's a lack of hakaras hatoiv. When was the last time anybody thanked a father for working to pay for tuition for a school? When was the last time you thanked your mother for the supper that she made? Let's say you make 14 suppers a week. It's not easy to run a household today. Especially can I know how a large family? Part of hakaras hatoiv, part of being a noisei, is giving to parents. I want to tell you something very painful. This is so unbelievable. I've never told this publicly before. You know, we spoke before about Rav Simcha Wasserman. Rav Simcha Wasserman and his wife, Rebbetzin Feger Wasserman, I had the schus to know them. They were in my house, especially when they were in Kew Gardens. I really got to know them very well. They never had any children. But they were very, very close to each other. And in the 1950s, Rav Simcha went out to Los Angeles to start a yeshiva, and he was having a very, very difficult time. The Los Angeles of today is not what it was in 1950. People were not embracing yeshivas as they are today. And so what happened was, Nebuch Rav Simcha was out there, and his Rebbetzin was in Detroit. She was teaching in Detroit, and she would send him her paycheck every week because he couldn't exist on what they were giving him in L.A. And besides then, he wanted to give it up, and he wanted to leave. Listen to what she wrote him. She said, "Only you can continue to build Torah there, because there's no yeshiva for little children, and we don't have children. So Hashem made it that you should go out there, because if somebody was there who had children, he would have to leave because he would need chinuch for his kids. But we don't have that problem, so only you should stay there, and you should build it, because we can build it, because we don't have that situation." Imagine taking such a tragic situation and turning it around to be noisnim for kiruv. But you know what she always said? This is mamish so painful. She always said that she wanted to die first. She said she couldn't live a day without her Rav Simcha. And she said that she always was mispalo that she should die first. And as she got older, she said, "You know, I realized that," she said about herself, "that if she dies first, there'll be nobody left to sit shiva for Rav Simcha." So she said, "Hashem, I changed my mind. Let him die first. At least I'll be there to sit shiva for him." And this happened only a few years ago. Rav Simcha was nifter. She sat shiva, and the day after shiva, she passed away. Do you imagine? She realized that she, in her sense, was being a noisel. She was only taking for Rav Simcha. And she said, "I'm taking for him. I can't live without him. I don't want to be here." Then she realized, "No. I can't be selfish in that way. I cannot be a noisel. I have to be a noisane. I have to give him the dignity of sitting shiva for him." Imagine a hailing a Rebbetzin should say something like that. And she sat shiva, and remarkably, it was so marvelous on the right in Eretz Yisrael, because those, the insiders, they knew what her kavanah was. Unbelievable. The Torah tells us in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Ches, "Ves Bilam ben Ba'or, Hargu b'charev." Bilam, the Russia that came to curse Klal Yisrael, he was killed by a sword. So Rashi, in a sense, says, what's the difference to us? How he was killed? Why does the Torah have to tell it to us? So Rashi says, "Hu ba'al Yisrael, he came, v'hichlif umnasai ba'umnasam." He took our tools and weapons. Our tools and weapons are the mouth. She'ein noishim ela b'fiyam. Klal Yisrael is always helped through Torah and Tefillah with our mouth. Ayyidei Tefillah u'bakasha. And he wanted to take that weapon and curse. So Hashem said, "I'll show you something. Klal Yisrael is going to take your weapon, which is the cherev, and turn it around and kill Bilam with that." What we learn from here is part of the noisei ba'ol chavera that we spoke about before. It's sarnafshoi. It's feeling the pain of others. We today, as we stand right here in this kinos, we must know that Klal Yisrael, especially in Yerushalayim, especially in Eretz Yisrael, is in a shereg l'chamasev. Whoever heard of an idea of dividing Yerushalayim, taking away from us the Mokim HaMikdash. What happens is today every single one of us that would love to fight and protect Eretz Yisrael, we can do it. We can do it with our mouth. We can do it with our tefillah. We can do it with the Torah that we learn. Every single girl today at this kinos must make a commitment that from tonight on or this afternoon on, if we haven't done mincha yet, that we will stop in Shemin Esrei and have special kavona v'yushalayim ircha berachem im tashu v'korev v'yameinu binyan oylam v'chisei dovin avdecha mehera l'soicha tochin baruch ato Hashem v'yne Yerushalayim. All of us want to protect Yerushalayim. Many of us have been there. There's no city in the world that any of us loves more than Yerushalayim. Kedusha starts in Yerushalayim. We today, our battle, our weapons of battle is our mouth. And if we have come together in a kinnis of Shmiras HaLashon, we have to be nice and we have to give to the people in Eretz Yisrael and give to Klal Yisrael the weapons that we have, which is a special tefillah and special kavana by that tefillah for Eretz Yisrael. One of the greatest acts of giving that the Torah records for us is the act of Rachel. Imagine Rachel giving the simonim to Leah. Rachel had no idea that she was at the end going to marry Yankai. But she didn't want that Chas V'Shalom Leah should be embarrassed. So she gave over the simonim. And she realized that she might not even have the Shiftei Ka'ah, she might end up with Esav. And she became such a Noisein. And because she became such a Noisein, there's the most unbelievable medrash. Rabbi Obaum and I, many, many years ago, in Camp Aguda, every Tisha B'Av, we would listen how Rabbi Yankov Teitelbaum would teach us this medrash. It's in the Hagdam of Sichta, the Eicha Rabosi, Perik Chav Zalim. It is the saddest medrash you could ever want to learn. I try so many times to learn it with my children on Tisha B'Av, I can never get through it. Such a sad medrash, how the Eivishter, when he saw that the Beit HaMikdash was going to be burned, and he said to Ben Amram Moshe Rabbeinu, be mispalel, and Moshe went to get Avram, and Avram said, please Hashem, save the Beit HaMikdash. Look at me, everything that I did, I was ready to be mopped with my son on the Akedah, and Hashem didn't listen. And Yitzchak said, I was ready to go on the Akedah. And Yankov said, I had such tzadik bonim. And Moshe said, I never went to Israel, I served for Israel. For me, save the Beit HaMikdash. And Hashem didn't listen to anyone. Until Rachel said, Hashem, I was a Noisein. I gave away the Simonim. I wasn't jealous. I was ready to give it away. You shouldn't be jealous. The Klal Yisrael is not serving you. And Hashem said to Rachel, you are the Noisein. Because of you, because of your tears, because of your tefillah, Koyam Hashem, Kol Beroma Nishma, Nehi Bechisam Rurim, Rachel Mavakar Abaneh. Rachel's crying about her children. May Ana Linochem, she cannot be consoled. But Hashem says to Rachel, Mini Koylech Mebchi, remove your voice from crying, Veinayach Min Dima, and your eyes from tears, Ki Yisocha Lepulasech, because there is reward for that which you did. And that's why, because she was a Noisein, and because she used tefillah, for that reason, Klal Yisrael was Zoicha to have. And will be Zoicha, that we'll be able to come back once again to Eretz Yisrael. Just want to end with this thought, we'll review and we'll end with a great story. Where did Yankov, what did Yankov say? Yankov, Rachel's husband, also said, Vanino Sati Lachoshchem Achad Alachecha. I gave you an extra portion, he said to Yosef. Asher lakachti miyad ha'amoyri v'charbi u'bakashti. That I took from Esav, v'charbi, the pashat of pshat, is the sword and the bow. But the Targum says it doesn't mean that. Those are not the weapons of Klal Yisrael. V'charbi u'bakashti, bakashti comes from the word bakasha. Yankov understood that the only way Klal Yisrael can accomplish something is with tefillah. And that's the commitment that we have to make today. We are all going to become Noisnim. We are all going to try to plant seeds. And through those seeds, we will build friendships and relationships. And we will try as much as possible to enhance our tefillah. the hands to tefillah, because that is the weapon with which we can get back Yerushalayim the way it once was. So let's review some of what we said, and we'll end with a great thought. Let's remember the Nosnu, back and forth. That which you give, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the schus, that then you will be able to get back. Imani kan akol kan. Every girl should feel wonderful that you made the effort to come here today. Because by your being here and filling up this hall of over 1,000 children, together with teachers, everyone who looks around is so inspired by such a hall, by such a tremendous covenant kinos. And hopefully the Eivishter will allow you to be makabel, to be makabel hashpah, to enhance your Avat Yisrael and Avat Hashem and Avat HaTeira. Let's remember what Rav Simcha Wasserman taught us. That the reason that Hashem made it, that in our generation we focus on Shmiras HaLoshen, because there was Sinas Chinam, and the Eivishter wants to see Avat Chinam, Avat Yisrael. Let's remember, even though Chas V'Shalom, there may not be Schus Ovoy, that period ended. But if we are metapel ourselves, we are involved in chesed. The Medrash tells us that's how we connect to the Ovois v'zoicher, chaz de Ovois. Let's remember the essence of chesed is being a noisein. Hashem is a noisein atayra, noisein layoav koyach, noisein lasech levina, noisein lechem l'chol bota ki v'yolam chazdoi. When you're a noisein, you plant a seed. You never know what's going to grow, like that story in Detroit. Let's remember what Chavi Wachshel taught us. Any fool can count the seeds in one apple, but only the highest power Hashem knows the apples that lie in one seed. Let's remember what Rabbi Yitzchak Volozhin had told us that his father said, Loi la'atzmoi nivra. We were not created for ourselves. We have to be noisim of the talents that we have. Let's remember Herschel Weber. He should have a long life and a fruitful life, a wonderful life, because of that tremendous concept that he put together, that the Rebbe, the Satmar Rebbe, Chusa Yogan Aleinu, that he told us, that he told him, that you should start the Haftalah organization. Let's remember part of Noisib Ochaveiro Yizkirov, and that tremendous story of how Rav Freifeld went to see what that boy was all about. That's what Kirov is all about. But the Pelayayat tells us, look at those that have less than you, less friends, less family, less funds, less talent, and greet them. What Rashi tells us, that's the Ani Imach. Feel the pain of the Ani. That's how you're going to be able to give him. Treat him with courage and treat him with dignity. And let's remember, to help our parents, as Rabbi Elia Lapian says, not that Chas V'Shalom they should say that the child is doing something a lack of Hakaras HaTov. Boys and girls have to help. Friday night, Motzei Shabbos, your parent is not your slave. We owe them a tremendous amount of Hakaras HaTov, and through that we'll have Hakaras HaTov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's remember what Rebbetzin Feigl Wasserman said. She wanted to sit shiva for her husband to give him that last cover. That's the pshat, the ultimate noisein. Bilam, the Torah tells us, our weapon is with the pair. That's how we have to daven. That's part of Sar Nafshai. Let's be more intent in our kavanah when we say Yerushalayim Ircha. That's why Rachel is the one, through her will be zeicha to the geula, because she was the ultimate noisein, ready to give away the potential of being with Yankov and to have Shvatim. That's why Hashem listens to her tefillah. And that's what Yankov says. B'charbi u'b'kashti is the inyan of prayer and bakasha. Let's just end with this great story and this great thought. This past Sukkot, I had the schus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I met a wonderful doctor. This doctor is a Baal Tshuva for many years already. Half a year used to be in Boston, half a year was in Yerushalayim. His name is used to be Howie Leibowitz, now it's Dr. Chaim Chana Chaim Leibowitz. Grata, he's moving to Lakewood next year. But now he's in Yerushalayim, and he was very, very inspired from Rav Noach Weinberg in Eitz HaTorah many years ago. And today he's even a teacher in Eitz HaTorah. He learns in Mir most of the day, and at night he does his medical, training, he teaches patients. So he tells me that a number of years ago, when he was running the emergency room in the Brigham's and Women's Hospital in Boston, all of a sudden on the loudspeaker there was a code blue. A code blue means that there's a sakona. Sakona nefeshes, somebody is dying. And they announced on the loudspeaker that a woman never had a heart attack, a severe heart attack in the cafeteria. He runs with his equipment, two doctors come behind him, and he's running up to the cafeteria, and you can understand that in the cafeteria already, even in a big hospital, there are doctors there, and they're working on this woman. And Dr. Leibowitz comes there and they tell him, it's all over, it's too late. And Itaka looks and it looks like the woman is not breathing. And he says, let me try. And he starts working on the woman right away. He gives her intravenous, he gives her epinephrine so that he should be able to get the heartbeat to start going in a regular rhythm. And then he tells me that there's something called defibrillator, that shocks the heart and it has a monitor on it. And he told me 4 times, 5 times, 6 times, he tried and said, gonna go open. And the doctors started picking themselves and they started leaving. And he told me, he said he's going to try one more time. One more time, if not never, then it's too late. And he presses once again on the defibrillator, and amazingly, on the monitor, a heartbeat. And he presses again, and his mamish brings this lady back to life. And his mamish gets a heartbeat, and he starts yelling for the other doctors to take her quickly upstairs to intensive care. And they take her upstairs, and he goes back to the emergency room, and mamish, the woman upstairs, they take care of her, and literally, she's brought back to life. Now it's 6 hours later. 6 hours later, and he's in the emergency room, and he tells me, he was thinking to himself, should he go to see the lady? He doesn't need to thank you. What is he going to say? Hi, I'm the one who saved your life. But he doesn't need to say, he's there to help people. But he realized this woman was a Goyisha lady. He realized from her name. They decided, he knows with a name like Leibowitz, he'll realize he's a Yid. It certainly will be a tremendous Kiddush Hashem if he goes and he tells her who he is. So he figured, I'm not going to write this in the book, I'm just telling it to you. This is the exact lesson, but I'll write it differently in the book. But he said there'll be one less Jew hater in the world. Fine. So, I'll write that. He figured it would be a Kiddush Hashem. But those are his exact words. You heard it first. Anyway, he goes in. He doesn't know how he's going to introduce himself. And as he walks into the room, she's sitting there. There's a man sitting next to her. And all of a sudden, the man jumps up and he says, this is the guy I've been talking about. He says, who are you? He says, I'm her husband. He says, where were you before? He says, I was there when she had the heart attack. But they made me go out of the room. So I was watching through that glass partition. I saw how everybody gave up except you. And you were the one who worked and worked until you brought her back. When this lady realized that this is the man who mamish gave her back life, she started crying. She just couldn't say anything. She was crying and crying. He told me he was standing there. He was so embarrassed. He didn't know what to say. Finally, she stops crying and listened to what she said. She says, Dr. Leibowitz, what should I say? Thank you. That's what you say when somebody holds the door open for you, not when somebody brings you back to life. But she says, you know, tomorrow, when I go home and I see my children, I'm going to remember you and I'm going to say, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz. And tomorrow night when I take a walk with my husband, I'm going to remember you and I'm going to say, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz. And next week when I have a birthday, I'm going to stop for a moment and I'm going to remember today and I'm going to say, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz. And when I get together with my friends, I'm going to say, thank you, Dr. Leibowitz. And she went on and on, and he told me that when he walked out of the room, he still doesn't know why he did this. He walked out and the room was already at night. There was nobody in the corridor. And he just said to nobody in the hall, when I go home and I see the little payas on my son, I'm going to say, thank you, Rabbi Weinberg. And the next time I learn a piece of Chumash and I understand what the Torah means, I'm going to say, thank you, Rav Meir Weinberg. And the next time I come home and I say I have a wife and children, I'm going to say, thank you, Hashem. And the next time that I walk up the stairs and I don't get out of breath, I'm going to say, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we have to learn today is, what can we give Hashem? We want to be nice to Him. We can give Him HaKadosh HaToy. You know what Rav Elie Lapian says? What's the real pshat in the words, Ani L'Doydi V'Doydi Li? We all say these words in Elul, and he says, we know what it means. B'mida she'ani l'daydi, as much as I recognize what Hashem has done for me, kach b'mida zu daydi li. In that mida, Hashem will recognize what we do for Him. We all learn, we all daven, we do so much, we want Hashem to recognize. We have to be a nice thing of HaKadosh HaToyv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of time, it says in Yeshaya, ki b'simcha seiseyu, when you shall go out with gladness, ubisholem tuvalun, and you'll arrive in peace. Hehorim v'hagvois yivtichu lifneichem rina. The mountains and the hills, they'll break out in song. V'chol atei asoda yimchal chof. All the trees will clap and be joyous. Dr. Mitzulais, what is this talking about? This is talking about Geula. Zu haptoch asher teitzu min agoyle v'simcha. Ki b'simcha seiseyu, we're going to go out with simcha, and we're going to come to Eretz Yisrael with gladness. And it occurred to me, based on how we started our talk today, what did we say was Ahorim V'Agvoyim? We learned that Medrash, what about the fathers, the Zchus Avos, the mothers, if it's faltering, now at the end. Ki b'simcha teitzeyu, u'v'shalom tuvolun, Ahorim, the Avos, V'Agvoyim, and the Himoyim, they will be happy for us because they will see we did chesed and we merited coming back. And then what's the pshat v'chol atzei asoda? The trees, the seeds that we planted, those apples and all those seeds that we planted of chesed, those are the atzei asoda. They will rejoice. Let us undertake chesed. Let us undertake to be nisnim. Let us undertake to be mispalel. And the Eibishter will see the chesed, how we connect to the avos. And in their schus, and in our schus, may we all join together to see Mashiach in our time. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for listening.